We're live, right, Mark? Well, praise the Lord. Amy, what was the name of that last song that you sung?
All My Worship.
All My Worship. The very last one? All My Worship?
Yep.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit here. Lord, I ask that your anointing would go through these waves, these camera waves, whatever you want to call them, that they'd go through and anoint the people that tune in today, touch their lives, touch their homes. Lord, whatever need they have, Father, that you will be involved and you will supply their every need. And we thank you. We praise you for that. We take authority against demonic spirits of every sort in every type that would try to mislead or speak wrongly into people's minds or conscience. We command them to let loose and be gone in the name of Jesus. We speak the blood of Jesus Christ over every person listening this morning, as well as us that are in the sanctuary. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We put our trust in you. And Lord, I ask again that your anointing of your word will go out and touch each person, challenge them, encourage them, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So today, we're still waiting for the coming of Jesus. I believe he's going to be on his way shortly. Seriously, I really do. Looking at the events of the world again, I want to encourage everybody, have your hearts and lives prepared, for it's going to be in an hour when we think not. He is going to come, and then it's going to be too late. So look, we would want you to be in the Word, be praying, be looking out and looking for the coming of Jesus. Jesus said he's only coming for those who are looking for his coming, and that love is appearing. So we need to have our lives ready at all times, even during this difficult time. And so today I wanted to speak on who am I, and not specifically me, but any one of us out there. If you look in a mirror this morning and you've seen yourself, you ask the question, who am I? I think it's important right now during this difficult time, and I believe the Holy Spirit led me to want to speak on this subject during this difficult time that we find ourselves staying at home for long periods of time, and many are having identity crisis. There's people that are literally taking their lives during this time, not knowing how to react, not associating with other people. So the question is, who am I? Why am I here? Is there more than this? And I think it's vitally important to answer these questions. So how do we identify ourselves? By our name? By our job? By our income level? By our giftings, our talents? Or by what others think of us? We can be accomplished and have many people admire us and gain a positive reputation. However, that doesn't mean we won't still wonder who we really are. Take Nicole Kidman, I thought was interesting. She's an accomplished, well-respected actress who can earn over $15 million per film, and yet here is a woman who has been quoted as saying, "I don't know who I am or what I am or where I'm headed." So right there, money does not resolve our problems of who we really are. And that doesn't mean we won't still wonder who we really are either. So we see that worldly success does not gain us a meaningful identity of who we are. We may still be wondering who we are. Having an identity crisis is especially problematic if you're a Christian, believe it or not. Identity theft. Anybody ever hear of identity theft? Pretty well-known thought today, too, isn't it? Everybody's watching their bank accounts, their 401ks, everything about them through their telephones, through their computers. Somebody's trying to hack, trying to steal our identity all the time. Identity theft is a big problem in our society today. It's an even bigger problem when we're dealing with a spiritual identity theft. Satan tries to steal our identity. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal Did you hear that? He comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But think about it. One of the things Satan wants to steal is our identity in Christ. He continually works on the Christian to try to steal that. And he doesn't only want to steal, he doesn't only want to kill us, he wants to annihilate us and destroy us for all eternity. And we need to be aware of that at all times. Satan wants those who made a genuine commitment to Christ to feel that they are not accepted by God. Have you ever felt that way? I've talked to many Christians through my Christian walk, too, that have told me that they've received Christ, but they just don't have a sense of belonging. And that's what Satan does in our minds. He attacks the mind anytime we choose to draw close to Jesus. See, it's that their conversion was a farce. He'll tell them that. He'll try to make them believe it. How does he do that? By getting us to base our salvation on works. On works. Just like he tries to do for the non-Christian, he's always trying to make us think that we earn our salvation through works, and we don't. So if you're out there this morning and you're striving, you say, Lord, I've done this much for you, I've done that for you, and I've done it so many, I'm tired. You don't have to work. Salvation has been paid for by Jesus upon the cross. He invites you to come to him and receive that gift of salvation. There's no work involved whatsoever other than trusting in his salvation. Works is only a part of after you get saved. It's something we want to do to glorify our Lord through what we do in his name. But it does not earn any identity or rights to be a Christian. That's done through salvation by what Jesus did on the cross. Doesn't that make you feel better? I know it does me because I don't come to church and preach thinking it's a burden because it's a not. I do it because I love preaching the word of God and glorifying the Lord. So when I mess up, I am either no longer a Christian or I've never was one to begin with. You ever have those thoughts in your head? These are some of the things, the fiery darts that the enemy will throw at your and my mind. I don't care if you've been a Christian for years and years and years. There will be a point sometimes along the way that something will happen and Satan will throw in a fiery dart and make you think, have I been a Christian all these years? Therefore, my identity as a Christian is determined by my performance, and it shouldn't be. One of the big problems with Satan's identity theft is that if Satan can get you to forget who you are, then you will be powerless and be defeated. And he knows that. Satan wants to steal our likeness to Christ. And he's been doing a pretty good job in the generation we're in right now, in the time, the hour that we live right now. We're watching it happen. Part of his purpose in stealing our identity is to erase any identifying characteristics of Jesus in our lives. By living like the world, by acting like the world, we have worldly habits that match up perfectly with the world. Our lifestyles, if they're worldly and they're contrary to the word, those are the things that Satan will try to bring into our lives and to steal away our characteristic of who Jesus Christ truly is in our life. Satan even went after Jesus. Can you believe how dumb Satan is? He actually went after Jesus, but he did. Listen, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus had just heard his father say, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, which is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, and lighting upon him. Jesus just experienced that. Now we hear Satan saying to Jesus in Matthew 4, 6, and saith unto him, if, that two-letter great big word, if. How many times have you heard that? But here's Satan speaking to Jesus saying, if thou be the Son of God. He wants to put doubt in Jesus' mind. cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. But guess what? Even here, Satan omitted a phrase right after this. What is that phrase? To keep thee in all thy ways. Satan left that out when you read the scripture. He left it out. What's happening today in the church world? We have translations that omit phrases and words that should be in there. We have preachers preaching sermons and omitting certain things that change the whole nature of the message in order to not offend someone. That's what Satan was doing here with Jesus. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. See, if and omitted were two attacks against Jesus himself. And I'll tell you what, if he's attacked Jesus, he attacks you and I. He attacks you and I. Satan also knows the scriptures. In fact, Satan knows the scriptures better than you and I do. But he will attempt to distort them to his own end. Satan was tempting Jesus to doubt his identity. He wanted to get Jesus to do a certain thing to confirm his identity. Jesus didn't fall for it. It's sad to say that many Christians fall for these thoughts that Satan put in their head. And if they were in the Word of God, they would attack it back and rebuke it. But we don't. We fall for it. And if that is you today, you shouldn't either. You should be in the Word of God. Whatever that thought is coming in your mind, if you say, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I committed my life to Him, then you need to be in the Word of God and be prepared when those attacks come, when you don't feel right. Most of our walk with the Lord is dealt with faith, not feelings anyway. I don't wake up in the morning every morning and feel saved. And I'm sure many of you don't. You look in the mirror and say, oh my, I don't feel saved today. Maybe there's a lot going on in your life. You're angry about something or someone, situations, circumstances are coming against you, and thoughts well up in your mind, and you look in the mirror and say, what's this all about? I just don't feel saved. Satan is attacking you at that moment. God confirmed to us that we are a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There it is right there. He's not rejecting anyone, whosoever. But Satan will be right there disputing that when it happens. Satan wants us to doubt what God is doing in our life. That's his goal, his objective, to pull us away from our identity in Christ. If we do, we are tempted to test God to see if he really loves us. And there's many people that test God in what they say or don't say or do or don't do to see if we are really protected by him, to see if he really is who he says he is. Listen to Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. God tells us not to tempt him. His word is his word. Satan is a liar. Whatever that thought is, depend upon the Word of God. Trust it, believe it, and walk it, and live it. Amen. See, when we tempt God, this is wrong. The Lord said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That should be in our hearts and our minds as born-again believers. This lie by Satan feeds into our insecurities is what it does. Also, Satan will challenge our identity by saying, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't think that way and you wouldn't act that way. Although it's true that when we sin, we are acting according to our identity. That doesn't mean we aren't a Christian, though. But if we're living in habitual sin, that's a whole different story and a whole different sermon. But it's a dangerous place to be. Satan went after Jesus' identity and he goes after ours as well. Remember that. So, who do I think I am? We got a few people here today. Who do you think you are? Well, some have a confused sense of identity. I had to look away since this is live. It's just kind of fun to look at people. You understand. But listen to the German philosopher Friedrich Daniel Ernst Schumacher. Did much to shape the progress of the modern thought in the late 18th and 19th centuries. One day, as an old man was sitting alone on the city park bench, a policeman, thinking that he was a homeless person, came over and shook him and asked, "Who are you?" The old philosopher replied, "I wish I knew. I wish I knew." And then we have theorist Erik Erikson coined the term identity crisis and believed that it was one of the most important conflicts people face in development. According to Erikson, an identity crisis is a time of intensive analysis and exploration of different ways of looking at oneself. Those with a status of having scattered identity tend to feel out of place in the world and don't pursue a sense of true identity. So when we're confused about who we are, we can become convinced that we're insignificant and unimportant. Have you ever felt insignificant and unimportant? We don't fit in anywhere. We don't have a sense of belonging. Therefore, we are nothing. And then we become depressed and suicidal. We convince ourselves that there's nothing to live for. We're convinced that there's no real purpose to our life. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We don't know who we are. Life becomes a burden as we weigh down in stress and anxiety. Because of this, we render ourselves defective and useless. Since we can't figure out who we are and where we belong, we decide there's no point in our existence. We're convinced that no one cares, not even God. Therefore, it's time to make an exit. And that's the part that puts fear into me and for people's lives that are locked in their homes in the hour that we live. People are taking their lives because they feel insignificant. Nobody cares, not even God, and they become hopeless in their life. And that's why you and I as Christians need to live the life, share the gospel with people. Don't be afraid, but we need to reach these people. But there's even some Christians who become hopeless in times like this. And you need not be. Is what you need to do is you need to stand upon the word of God. Stand upon the word of God. Psalms 55:22. It says, "Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." You and I have got to learn how to cast our burdens upon the Lord. We need to do that. God calls us to do it right too. He's able to sustain us. He has that power when we give him the burdens of life. Some of us have a warped sense of self-identity. Perhaps we've heard growing up how we're no good or we never amount to anything, and that became our identity. Perhaps we were teased in school, and we became identified by whatever we were called. I was teased in school, and most children are. But I remember we were teased quite a bit. We were not wealthy, couldn't dress fancy, super shy, and people, I tell you, have a tendency to tease people like that. And we were teased merciless continually. And that did affect the way I spoke, the way I was in school, afraid to get up in front of anybody, to talk to anybody, because I thought people were going to tease me. Satan, even back then, was trying to build our identity. But you want to know something? I got the victory. And you say, "Well, how do you know you got the victory?" I'm talking to you right now. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the power of the Holy Spirit when he comes into a life and you trust the Lord to take over your life and you cast your burden upon him. No matter what the past was, you say, "That's gone. I trust you right now, Jesus, for whatever you want me to do." And I tell you, there's freedom there. It's exciting. And we become adults, but those abusive voices haven't left. I know people that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and even 60s that still haven't let go of their past. They make excuses for everything. They won't do anything for the Lord, and they'll make excuse because, whatever. They built their identity because of what people have said to them in the past. We become Christians, yet we struggle with those nagging, negative chants that are in our minds. Satan won't let go of it. We still identify ourselves as an unloved loser, a waste of space, But that's Satan working in the Christian's life too. And because of this negative grooming, we come to identify ourselves by our character flaws, our issues, our sins. And we behave according to what we're convinced of. Norman Vincent Peale wrote, and listen to this, "You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are." That's good. I'm going to read that again. "You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are." And if I believe I'm a loser, then I will live my life accordingly. And there's many that do. And they miss out on life. It doesn't matter what the truth is. It matters what I think the truth is. It doesn't matter what is real. It only matters what I think is real. It doesn't matter what my true identity is. It only matters what I perceive my identity is. So, who am I really? How can I discover who I really am and solve my identity crisis? Who do we believe? We need to ask ourselves, who are we allowing to be the authoritative voice in our life? We need to ask that. It's a serious question. If you're listening to Satan, who only lies to us, that's all he does. He only lies. If you're living in sin right now and you say, well, I feel I'm okay, I'm a Christian. That's a lie of Satan. If you're living in sin, you're living in danger of hellfire. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to what God says. His loving word will say to you how he warns us. Do we listen to other people? Who could be confused or ignorant themselves of the truth? Who are messed up themselves, by the way? Do we listen to them? Or do we listen to Jesus? I like listening to Jesus. I don't know about you, but see, in the Word of God, John 14:6, Jesus tells, "I am the way, I am the truth." That's why I listen to Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. No one else is. But Jesus said, "I am the truth." And if there's a question in your mind, you need to go to the Word of God and ask through the Holy Spirit, let him guide you to the truth of God's Word, what it says in your circumstance of life. Don't just lay down and die. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to Jesus because he's the truth. We are so held back when we have an identity crisis in our life. We come to believe through listening to the wrong voice, there's no power greater than ourselves. So if I feel defeated, then there's no hope. See, I need to believe God. I remember in my younger Christian life, and I started out teaching Sunday school for little children, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds. And then I went to a little older group, and then it was tough, but I went to teenagers. That was a challenge. But it was good. I had like 50-some teenagers in one room. How about that? Praise God, but God blessed it. And then one day the pastor of the church came to me and said, "Brother Lynn, I think you should teach an adult Sunday school." And I turned white. I'm not just talking the way I look now. I was white. I was scared. I thought, me? Me? See, Satan started bringing back my past. Who are you? You can't get up and speak in front of people like that. He's trying to bring my old life back. And so then I battled with that for all that afternoon. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to allow the devil to lie to me and that you cannot use my life. As imperfect as I may be, and we all are, that God can still use me. I need to believe God. I need to line my thinking with God's truth, the Word of God. I need to line my beliefs up with what God said about me. No one else. I need to read, study the Word of God, and believe what it tells me." And that's why I keep saying it many, many times. Read the Word. Read the Word. If you're struggling in your life right now with yourself and thinking no one cares, no one loves you, well, I got a book here tells me about Jesus and he loves you so much. And while you were yet a sinner, he died on a cross for you and he accepted you exactly the way you were. And he'll do the cleaning, not me. He'll do it. But he does it through his word. If you really love Jesus and you read his word and you obey it, you'll let the Holy Spirit change and clean and create in you a new creature that God wants you and I to be like him. Amen? I hear those amens out there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, when I feel like a failure, a loser, a nobody, I need to remember the reality of Psalms 139:14, where God tells me, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Hallelujah. Praise God. I get excited when I read that. But you look at that word wonderfully there. Look at that word wonderfully and think about that. That stresses the aspect of being different, differently. That is, each baby is designed to be like all human beings in overall aspect, but uniquely different from all others in detail. There's nobody upon this planet or ever has been or ever will be that will be like you. Nobody. That's why it says wonderfully made. There's nobody else like you. And when Satan takes a life and destroys it, it breaks the heart of God, because every one of us is different. I'm a twin. I have an identical twin, but I'm uniquely different than he is, because that's the way God created me. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, when I feel unloved, I need to believe God's truths. Romans 5:8. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And while we were yet sinners, do you believe this loving heavenly Father would love you any less when you come to him and receive his gift of salvation? When you come to him and now you're his child, you think he loves you any less when you and I stumble and we fall or we get into sin and we come to him and ask for forgiveness? You think he loves us any less? No. And while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And after we become his children, it's so much easier to hear the Lord speak into my heart now that I belong to him. And he changes me. That old identity back there is becoming changed day by day as I trust him. Zig Ziglar observes, the greatest single cause of a poor self-image is the absence of unconditional love. I thought that was good, because it's really true. Even you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, have got to learn to love one another. When we do, the world will see that truly that we are Christians. For our love one for another. If we believe God when he says that he loves us unconditionally, Romans 8:39, nor height, listen to this, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah, praise God. Nothing can separate. Now, you can separate yourself from God, so don't talk to me about eternal security. I believe in eternal security when I'm doing what God said. He said, if you love me, you obey me. But I tell you right here, there's nothing that can separate God's love from you and I. But Satan's going to come along and he's robbed and shipwrecked many people's faith in this loving God. And then we can gain a healthy self-image, realizing our Lord's love for us. You can sit, if you're listening to me this morning and you're dealing with things in your life and you say, nobody really cares, nobody understands, nobody loves. Jesus Christ understands totally. He was tempted in all ways as you and I are. He was abused. He was rejected by the whole world. But yet hanging on the cross, he said, I love them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think about that. If you're there this morning, I want to encourage you. You have a love from a God who unconditionally loves you. Is all he asks is that you come to him and trust him. And when we trust him, we obey him, because he knows best. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." See, Peter had an inward witness of the Holy Spirit, an inward witness of the Holy Spirit that lives within him, revealed that to him, that he could make that statement and tell Jesus who he is. Did Jesus have an identity crisis? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, he wanted to make sure his disciples knew what his identity was. That's important for us too. We can't attack our own identity crisis if we haven't answered the most important identity question: who is Jesus? And that's a strong truth for many that call upon his name today, that they really don't know who he is. They really don't give their trust to him. If we can't answer the way Peter did, then we'll never resolve our own identity crisis. And that's why you see Christians living lives outside of where God wants them to be, because they've not resolved their own personal identity crisis, who God created them to be. And Scripture tells me how he created us and who we're to be. We've got to think about that. Are you living in fear right now? If you're living in fear, don't. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus, the living God. I said trust Jesus, the living God. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Sun Young Moon, not any of these New Age gurus, because they're all dead or going to be dead if there's some alive, and they're gone. But Jesus is the living God, the one with unconditional love, our Creator, the I Am. Regarding the people's answers about who Jesus was, one commentator said that when the common people gave these answers, they were like a moth hovering around the light. They were fascinated by what they could not understand. See, we might be fascinated and drawn to Jesus, but until we understand that he is God in the flesh, the Savior, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Protector, then we will never truly embrace all that he is and all that means to us as his children and born-again followers. We need to trust Jesus, for he's all those things. He is the Savior. He is the Creator. He is the Protector. He is the Giver. He's everything. He's the Great I Am. Until we believe seven, and there's more, but seven I Am statements of Jesus. And I didn't write all the scriptures down. You look them up. Study to show yourself approved, a workman not be ashamed. I am the way, Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the light. Jesus said, I am the bread. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the vine. Jesus said, I am the gate. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. But until we can say Jesus is God, we will be confused about his identity and therefore confused about our own, because we're showing no trust. So if you're dealing with that today, you need to get in the Word and find out who Jesus is. Believe me, he's real. He's real. He's here this morning. Not because I said it, because he said it. You don't depend on me. You depend on the Word of God. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in his name, that he's here in the midst. And we have even more than two and three here today, as well as you watching. And if you're in your home all by yourself, there's two or three right there. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and you. Actually, there's four of you there, because he's a living God. When we discover who Jesus is, then we are beginning to discover who we are. That's why it's important. That's why the devil wants us to stay away from Jesus, because we'll learn the truth. I am a child of God. Galatians 3, chapter 3, 26 and 27. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It didn't say everybody in the world did it. For as many who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. God created us to be something other than what we became. Sin stole our identity, people, and is still doing it today. Adam and Eve became something God had not intended them to be. Through sin, that's what we are identified as in the Scripture, is sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. Through Christ, we lose our old identity and gain a new one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for Jesus. I go from a sinner to a saint by trusting in Jesus. We are now known by what God had originally intended us to be, a child of God. I love the old song, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. What an incredible song. See, when a child gets adopted, he often takes the name of the adoptive parents. He is identified as such. We who are adoptive sons and daughters of God through Christ have taken on a different name. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us on to the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. God willed it. It's God's will that every man come unto him, every person he's ever created. It's his will, but he will not force you. He invites you to receive what he did through his son Jesus upon the cross. We have a new identity. It doesn't matter who we were before. Once you come to Christ, it's gone. It's gone. We have a new birth certificate, people. We're now the children of God. I am in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. If you're walking in condemnation, you need to ask yourself, who are you living for? How are you living your life? If you're living a contrary to the Word of God, then you will have condemnation. But if you're doing your best, and yes, you will sin, and I sin, and we do, we can go to the Father and cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, forgive me, and he'll forgive you, and then you keep on going, but you don't stay in the sin. But if there's condemnation there, you got to speak to yourself and ask yourself, why am I under constant condemnation? You need to ask, how are you living your life? Paul expresses the personal appropriation of the work of Christ by the term in Christ, and I like that, in Christ. The particular phrase is found in Christ 75 times in the King James Version, in Christ. That is what theologians call identification with Christ, in Christ. It means God has acted in such a way that we have become identified with Christ. What does it mean that I am in Christ? What does that mean? As far as God is concerned, what is true of Christ's standing has become true of me also. Praise the Lord. Did Jesus die? So did I. So did I. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Then I too rose from the dead. Did Jesus have power? So do I. I have power, not my own power, but I have Jesus' power living within me. I can accomplish anything of God's will because I am in Christ. I'm in Christ. Accepting this label in Christ will help us to secure our identity and allow us to confirm who we really are. I am a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I look toward the future, not what's behind. What I used to be before I came to Christ is all gone. God doesn't even know it, doesn't even remember it. That's why he doesn't know it. He chose not to. He put it into the sea of forgetfulness. All the filth that I did, the sin that I did, was put into the sea of forgetfulness, and he's never to remember it again. And when the devil comes along and tries to put condemnation on me and say, remember, 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 I'm not going to bring up my old life. Why would I do that? God doesn't even know it. He forgot it. He saved me with the precious blood of Jesus. He washed it away. Because I am in Christ, I am a new creation. I'm still not perfect. None of us are till we get to heaven when we receive full salvation. But I have Christ in me, and it's His righteousness in me now. I'm not identified by my old self. But God has given me a new identity because of Jesus. There's people that may know you and know your past and will bring it up. But you can look at them and say, that was then, but this is now. I love Jesus. You can identify with Jesus Christ Himself. See, I don't have self-esteem at all. I don't have any self-esteem. I got Christ's esteem. I got Christ's esteem. I'm living according to what the Word of God. God, working in me, gives me Christ's esteem. I know my identity and who I am through Christ. And anybody can come to me and tear me down and say horrible things about me, anything you want. Doesn't bother me one bit because I know who I am in Christ. I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm saying it because it's the truth of the Word of God. You can't let the devil push you around all your Christian life. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that God is not counting my sins against me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, oh, wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He reconciles us when we come to Him and repent of our sins. He reconciles us back to Himself, and we become children of God because of what Jesus did. No other work needs to be performed. Jesus accomplished that upon Calvary's cross. I don't know about you, but if you're at home, you should stand up and praise God if you're a born-again Christian. If you're not, Jesus invites you. If you're a backslidden Christian and you've been living in habitual sin, you need to come forward and receive Christ. Because He loves you. It's not His desire for you to be lost. You're saying, Pastor, I sure hope you get done preaching soon. I will. I don't have many people here, so, you know, I can stay here all afternoon. But I'm not. But listen to this. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. See, in the book, My Utmost for His Highest, some of you probably heard of that, Oswald Chambers says of this verse, I have been identified with Him in His death. It's no longer I who live. And Paul is saying, my individuality remains, but my primary motivation for living and the nature that rules me are already radically changed because of Jesus. Hallelujah. So as a Christian, our identity is wrapped up in Christ. I'm identified by my association with Jesus. So the people who tease me now, he's a Bible thumper, he's a Jesus freak, he's whatever, I'm identifying with Jesus. They persecuted Him, they're going to persecute me because I'm like Jesus. Christ in me. My connection, my identity is taking His sacrifice and claiming it for myself. How can I be secure in my identity? Claim the power in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16, 21. I'm almost finished here, people, but hang tough. Don't turn the TV off. Well, turn the TV off. Stay on Facebook. That we would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And boy, do we need that today. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit power is available to you. And we need to understand that the power of his love that knows no boundaries and surpasses all knowledge. We need the Holy Spirit power in order to be filled with all the fullness of God. We need to claim this Holy Spirit power in order to be able to be immeasurable more than all we could ask or even imagine. We need the power of the Holy Spirit activated in our lives. This is the Holy Spirit power that is available to those who believe in God's love for them and will embrace their identity in him. The Holy Spirit will be active and working in your life and bring joy where there's been heartache. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Where there's been discouragement and frustration and fear, by identifying with Christ, knowing that he is the sovereign, supreme God, he will give you peace because you identify with his power and who he truly is. He is God. And then you need to claim these promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 22. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Is God. So God's promises in his word are yes. Not maybe. Not only certain people, certain circumstances. God says his promises are yes. When we trust in him. And then it finishes by, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. One person said, asked me one time, well, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Nothing can happen to us. We can live any way we want. Wrong answer. You got to read the Word of God. See, as easy as I receive Christ, I can again reject Christ also. It's my will. I call it the will theory. So, you got to think about that. Don't get trapped in what others say. Only listen to what the Word of God says. Being secure in our identity will allow us to believe that the promises of God are valid for me and for you. I need to be assured of my identity in Christ so that I can stand firm in the promise of the Holy Spirit, placing his seal of ownership on me. I belong to Jesus. I belong to him. He sealed me by the Holy Spirit. I belong to him. And with his help, I want to live for him. I want to build my identity in him, who I truly am. Not in who I think I am or want to be, but in Christ Jesus. Here we see the words in this scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 through 58, we need to claim the victory, people. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And it's not. You see the words victory, steadfast, immovable. These are words of surety that you and I need in our walk with the Lord, especially as we see the end times heating up and we draw closer to the kingdom of God. It's getting hotter and hotter and darker out there, and we need to know in whom we believe in order to make it, because Jesus said those who overcome, we need to be overcomers, and we do that by knowing who we are in Christ. These are the words of surety. If I'm having an identity crisis, I won't be victorious. I won't be steadfast in my walk, and I won't be immovable in my faith if I'm having an identity crisis in my life. Claiming the victory through Christ allows me to have the solid hope, the solid faith, the solid trust in God and his promises when I trust in him that I am in Christ. It allows me to have that awesome resurrection power that will render me victorious in my life. I will overcome, I will endure, I will prevail because I have claimed the victory. What's coming out of your mouth today? Think about it. The Bible says we are snared with the words of our lips. What are you professing today? If you're truly a born-again, blood-bought, Holy Ghost, pew-jumping, devil-chasing Christian, then you need to trust Jesus. Speak God's word. Don't speak what the devil puts in your mind. That's always going to be there while we're on this planet. But we need to trust Jesus. Through the power, the promise, and the victory, I have identity, security, and I have overcome my identity crisis. Lastly, I like this scripture. I quote it a lot to myself. And I do it out loud when I'm even in my car driving, wherever. It's in Colossians 1:27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There you go right there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. And if there's any listening this morning that are tuned in and you've never, ever given your life to Christ, Jesus tells us in the scriptures, he lets us know, he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And our works is but filthy rags in his nostrils. He tells us that it's a stench to him, anything that we bring before him, thinking we're going to enter heaven's gate through our own works. It's a stench in his nostril. And he's inviting you to come to him. Simply, he just says, come on to me, whosoever will. And you repent of your sin and ask him to come into your life. Jesus' blood will wash your sins away and throw them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember again. And all the sin in your life, all the heartache that was created by that, the burdens will come off and you will be a born-again child of God from that point on, if you believe it. Not saying it, but believing it and living it, it becomes real in your life. And how exciting that is. And that's my prayer for you if you're watching this morning and you've never received Christ. But I want to pray for the body of Christ that is watching this morning also. Father, again, we thank you for your presence here. Lord, we thank you for your written word. Lord, we thank you for you are the creator. You created us and you put us together, our parts, before we were even born. You knew that I was going to be who I am. You knew it ahead of time and you created me. And everyone listening this morning, everybody out there, if you're discouraged and frustrated, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will put in their heart an excitement and a joy, knowing that they serve a living God, and one day we will be together as a family, not just here, but in heaven, at the marriage, the supper of the Lamb, and we will rejoice, and we will share stories, Father, that you've done in every one of our lives. So, Lord, today we put our trust in you, a never-failing Heavenly Father. And I pray, Lord, that you touch every home. Bless them, meet all their needs, financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. But most of all, Lord, let us continue to draw our hearts toward you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless. Praise the Lord.